Suicide Prevention Week in Wisconsin is an opportunity to talk about this problem in Wisconsin and what Wisconsin can do and is doing to prevent suicides. For that discussion, thanks to Kevin Moore, Deputy Secretary, Wisconsin Department of Health Services, Chuck Warzika, Deputy Administrator, Department of Health Services, Division of Public Health. Gentlemen, thanks very much.
Thanks for having us.
Your agency just released a major study, The Burden of Suicide in Wisconsin, 2007-2011. I actually find it fascinating. And we're going to do two things in this program. We're going to talk about suicide in Wisconsin, but then we're going to talk about efforts to help those who may be contemplating it. So this is a twofold. Here's what intrigued me. In the period 2007 to 2010, 725 suicides per year in Wisconsin are almost two a day. Mm-hmm. So, and 10th leading cause as it is nationally.
Yep, right.
Right. Before we get into the real depths of this, talk about the study and why it's done and who does it.
Sure. So did the study jointly with the Medical College of Wisconsin and with Mental Health America of Wisconsin. And it represents a number of different data sources. We pulled together data from a number of years in order to make sure that we have enough information to really focus on what some of the causes are. It's not enough just to have numbers anymore. We want to know as much as we can to help us direct our activities towards the specific populations that are most at risk. And so this report came out. It's a summary of 5 years of data, and it's a follow-up to a previous report that had also 5 years of data. Mm-hmm. Within this five-year period, it's not clear that there's a trend just because of the numbers that we're dealing with, but between this report and the last one, unfortunately, we did see a slight increase in the suicide rates. And so I guess that's the same as what is being seen nationally, but it's not what we wanted to see. You know, right. So it really tells us that we've got a lot of work to do, and it's a big burden.
Right. Any PS on that, Kevin?
Well, I just want to echo the fact that, you know, the reality is one is still too many. And so for us to be able to identify the number, be able to take the data from this report and identify different ways that we can improve, like you said, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But this is an issue that impacts and can impact all of us. And so the ability for us as a society, as a state, as a community to be able to understand some of the drivers here, but also understand what people can do, it's just a really good, it's a sobering topic, but it's an important topic for us to be able to identify things that we can do to prepare ourselves to be able to help those that may be asking for help and need of help. So we have to look at it two ways. One is, yes, it is a sobering report, but we also have to learn from it so that we can build those bridges to help people.
Chuck,
so.
just to talk about that increase, the rate of suicide in Wisconsin has significantly increased between 2004 and 2011, from a low of approximately 13 per 100,000 residents in 2004 to a high of approximately 15 per 100,000 residents in 2010. And then just this, before we get into it, for every suicide in 2011, there were 11 hospitalizations or emergency department visits for self-inflicted injuries. So we're just not talking about those who tragically end their own life, but others who end up in the emergency departments. Mm-hmm. So it's
yeah. And I think it's important to know that those are those rates give us more information about where to look when we're trying to find those risk factors and mm-hmm. identify those preventative opportunities. If we looked just at the suicide rates, the numbers are high, but they don't tell us as much as we'd like to know. We want to know when there's an early intervention opportunity, and I think having unfortunately it's important information for us to know when someone's made an attempt, because they're at a very high risk, and okay. that means that we have a great opportunity there to intervene and to prevent them from making it into that other category.
Well, Wisconsin I has tried to cull this 60-page report into a few graphics to help us tell the story. So let's go into number one, and as I walk us through the first graphic, anytime you guys have a PS, just jump in, okay? Mm-hmm. Key findings for the highest suicide rate, location, northern and Wisconsin counties. We're going to get into a map next, but Well, are we talking here about north of Highway 10 or 29 or what?
Well, north and west, and so kind of on a more of a diagonal. And really, it represents the more rural areas of the state.
Rural,
so
rural areas.
Even in the northern counties that are more heavily populated, we don't see the as high a rate. So it's the more rural counties that have the higher rates.
So the caveat to this is those most likely to commit suicide, correct?
Right.
That's what we're walking through here, the summary.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Age range 45 to 54. Why?
It's not clear, other than there are a number of risk factors that we identify throughout the report, and many of them do tend to pile up in that age range. There's a lot of stressors, a lot of personal crises can happen to a person in that range. There probably is better research out there that I'm familiar with that helps get to that, but knowing it gives us some impression, or gives us an idea. Well, it wakes us up, too. It's not what you would initially think.
Okay.
And so it causes us to rethink our strategies around prevention.
Those who do not have a high school degree are, what's the term, overrepresented?
Mm-hmm.
And the higher, the more you have a college or a master's, you're less likely?
Less likely to consider suicide, yeah.
And marital status, divorced, more at risk for suicide?
Much more so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now let's get to another graphic here. I was really struck by this. The suicide rates in Wisconsin. This looks to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the rates in some of our southern counties, Dane and maybe Jefferson, no, let's reverse it. Rates of suicide are 3 or 4 times higher in these counties with the darkest, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a tremendous disparity.
That is huge, yeah.
Can we chalk that up to less income? Well, go ahead. As we got ready for the show, you've got a...
Yeah, I think it's not specific to Wisconsin. We see this nationally. It's the more rural parts of the country that tend to have higher rates. And we believe it's largely to do with the lack of access to a tighter social networks. And so if you look in areas where people have a lot of contact with other individuals, there's a lot more opportunity for intervention socially and for support. And I think it tells us something about the kind of support systems that we need to develop in these rural areas and what we need to compensate for. But I think it's largely the social connectedness that isn't there in the rural areas.
If we overlay age demographics and income demographics, do you think we would find some relationship here?
Not sure.
You know, Wisconsin, especially when you look at north of 10, north of 29, you know, it's becoming, from an age perspective, Wisconsin's becoming an older state up there. So, I mean, I think that there are some of those drivers, which is consistent with the first slide, which is, again, I think a lot of folks think that it's an issue that impacts teens more than others, but obviously it doesn't. It's folks between that 45 to 55 range. So I think that I think as you overlay those different things, as Chuck said as well, just the nature of being interconnected, not having ability to go down the street or have a neighbor that's nearby. Those are the types of things that obviously impact the ability to develop resilience, to develop that structure, to be able to have somebody to be able to come to you and say, look, do you have an issue? Do you have a problem? You know, are you considering even just something as bold as, are you considering killing yourself? Some of those things, that interaction is not nearly as robust up there because of geography, in addition to some of the other factors. But again, I think that this helps us to lay out that roadmap of how, you know, where do we need to focus our efforts? Who do we need to partner with? And again, not just partner in the clinical sense. I think a lot of folks will look at, you know, hospitals, or this has got to take a lot of different hands. This is just a very similar approach when it comes to mental health. It's not just the clinical side. It's friends, it's peers, it's neighbors, it's all of us trying to pull together for that well-being that we want everybody to have. So this is it's the daunting, again, it's a sobering statistic, but it also provides a roadmap for how we can help to address some of these problems.
I think on the first slide, and we don't need to go back to it, but I may have skipped the gender issue.
Yes.
According to the stats, 4 out of 5 suicides are men.
Yes.
Yep.
And they're more likely to act with a firearm, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think I skipped that slide. Yep. But now back to the
suicide. Just to clarify that,
please,
though, men are more likely to commit suicide, but not necessarily more likely to attempt suicide. And
okay.
So mental health challenges that that lead someone to attempting suicide are as strong or even stronger for women.
Okay, now let's jump back to the county-by-county disparity. Did this disparity exist in the last study 5 years ago, Chuck? Do you know? Has this gotten worse?
I'm not sure if we broke it down by county at that time. However, intuitively, I would say that it was likely very similar because of the dynamics that drive this kind of rates from rural to urban nationwide.
Okay. Well, another fact that we made a different slide because it stuck out so much. Suicide rates among high school students, 1 in 7 have seriously considered attempting suicide. This was surprising to me. Has this grown over the last study? Do you know?
You know, I don't think we had that
In
the last study either. Like I said, we're getting a little bit more focused on the type of information we're collecting so that it's more actionable. And so what this tells us is that although there's a high rate of people considering it in these age groups, it tells us it's an important opportunity. We need to be getting in early and talking with our kids about this topic.
Wow. And this is a number for 2013. On that note, while we're talking about high school students, LGBT teens more likely to report suicidal thoughts than heterosexual peers. Firearms are most likely frequent means of suicide. Males more likely than females. That first bullet point, Chuck, that's kind of intriguing. What does that tell you?
It is, and I know our staff have told me that there is one good study, at least, that's identified that this is a very narrow window, so it's this early risk for LGBT teens that after getting past this early stage, this early period in their lives, the rates then aren't higher or disproportionate to the rest of the population. So this is a real critical time for that subgroup of folks.
And I think if you take the two slides, not only the LGBT teens, but also the 1 in 7 for kids that are in high school, I mean, this is an opportunity where I think not only our agency, but working with DPI and others, this goes back to the larger discussion and the larger fight against bullying about trying to get kids to understand that differences are differences, but really to help them, again, give those kids the tools and the knowledge to understand what they need to do to be able to address this, that there is tomorrow's going to be a good day. We need to continue to bolster that. But I think from our point of view is we have an opportunity now to partner early because we want to make sure that those kids have the resources and the knowledge that they need so that they're not being bullied or that they know what to do when they do get bullied as opposed to thinking that it's their fault and harboring that. And I think that as any parent will know, you try to instill that, but can we make sure that systemically that we build that infrastructure as well? So it's, again, an opportunity for us to build because we'd like to see this number obviously dramatically go down as we continue to move forward.
Right. Slide number 5, graphic number 5, the incidence of suicidal behavior. For every 100,000 Wisconsin residents over age 10, more than 14 died, but it's not just about those who end their life. It's this was eye-opening to me. More than 112 hospitalized for inpatient care due to self-inflicted injury, and the study costs that out over the period of 2007-2011. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
$369 million, and more than 53 emergency room visits due to self-inflicted injury. Now, I assume these are people who were not kept, treated, and then released.
Is that some of them may have moved into the inpatient care as well.
Yeah. But the cost, $22.6 million. Where did your experts that produced the report get these numbers?
Well, we have information from claims data, either if it's a Medicaid payer or all payer claims data. So we can identify what people were hospitalized for, what they were discharged for, and then there are rates and costs associated with each of those conditions. And so that's over a 5-year period, and so combined, the average is pretty close.
Does the study, if it's in there, I missed it, is there an estimate of the cost of the impact of suicide, the cost on Wisconsin Probably isn't, because
overall,
so much of it is a personal toil.
Right. Overall, no, I don't think we have that, although you can imagine that the economic cost and the healthcare system are just a very small fraction to the community cost and the family impact that this has. There are economic costs with all of that as well,
yes.
And they're probably far larger than the actual healthcare costs. But just the impact to the family and the community is unmeasurable.
That's actually, I think, important, Steve. When we had before the show, we had talked about that. Is that, you know, the dollar amounts? There's actually another quantifier here that it's not on here, but it's the impact to the loved ones. It's the fact that, you know, you are there's the whole impact of what does it mean when a loved one is no longer there, and I think mm-hmm. that's the part, especially knowing that this is preventable. this is something where if people have the right resources and the right knowledge, and if kids know that they're in, and again, not even kids, although I guess, you know, some people are always kids at heart, but no matter where you are age-wise, you just need to know that not only you have access to these resources, but that loved ones can play a really critical role in preventing this. And I think that's really where we need to move from, because as we prevent it, these numbers will naturally drop off, which is really what we want to get to happy, healthy family, happy, healthy individual, happy, healthy student means that we're not talking about dollars and cents. We're talking about other elements of productivity. But that's the really, I think, the part that, you know, over 700 people in the last year that are gone that we could have prevented. Mm-hmm. You know, let's figure out what we can do and make those preventions real.
And as you said, it is impossible to put a dollars and cents. But here's one way, reading from page 7 of the report. At the societal level in Wisconsin, suicides occurring during 2007-2011 were related to 22,000 years of potential life lost
mm-hmm.
each year. So that's one way.
Yeah, another statistic on that same page from CDC estimates annual cost of $34.6 billion
yes.
of both health care costs and lost work, and lost work being probably the bigger share of that.
That's a national number.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. Well, okay, we have spent enough time on summarizing suicide in Wisconsin. I want to take the rest of the show and walk through some of the recommendations. I think they begin on page 30 of the study. We'll tell people how to get the study at the end of the show. But Kevin, you want to read us through these recommendations one by one and any PS?
Yeah, so I think there are four takeaways from the report. The first one, really target high-risk populations with prevention strategies and programs. As we've walked through the previous slides, this is helping us to better build that roadmap of where do we need to focus our efforts in terms of identifying high-risk populations, making sure that they receive, and again, another bullet point here is promote evidence-based interventions to improve mental health, a second recommendation. Mm-hmm. They work very much in tandem. We want to identify and then make sure that we provide those resources to that individual. This is where, again, we have to look at this as an opportunity for us to try to find how to build that infrastructure so that folks that are in need of help can get help. One population, though, that I just want to make sure that I don't forget about is that we also, in the report, identifies that for Wisconsin veterans, again, a targeted population,
yes.
One in five of individuals that committed suicide last year was a veteran.
Yeah, let's land on that a minute, because I really think had we had more time, we should have developed that as a separate graphic.
Yeah.
Say it again. One in five.
So one in five, so about 20% of those that committed suicide last year were a veteran. Now, if you look at that in comparison to the number of veterans in the state, it's about 1 in 10 or about 10%. So they're overrepresented in terms of the number of people that are committing suicide. And I think it's, again, it's an opportunity for us. We've been working at the department with our partners at the Department of Veterans Affairs on trying to identify ways for homeless veterans to get access to mental health services. Again, all mental health, substance abuse, suicide prevention, they all overlap with each other. But it's another way for us to, we've identified now a risk, we've identified a population that we know that we need to perhaps improve, not perhaps, we know we need to improve our service delivery for those folks. So it's again, it's sobering from the report, but it gives us now the ability to say, look, let's focus, again, bullet point one, let's target those high-risk populations. Let's make sure that not only are they receiving the knowledge on how to prevent suicide, but also just that whole array of services for mental health and substance abuse, which is so important on trying to catch people so that they never get to that point.
I'm just curious, Chuck, the suicide rate for Wisconsin veterans, is that comparable to the national? Is it higher? Do you know?
That I don't know, but I suspect it's similar because we're hearing it from all of our neighboring states and other partners nationally about the importance of stepping up our interventions for veterans in particular.
What's the rate for veterans? Say it again, Kevin.
So one of every five people that committed suicide last year was a veteran, which is
it's way too much.
No,
it's more than
tragic.
Double what we'd expect to see in that.
More than double.
Regular population.
Yep.
More than double the regular population over age 10.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
Good.
So we'll keep on
continue,
moving. Again,
please.
Consistent with all of the programs that we support, evidence-based interventions is critical for success. We want to make sure that the treatment and the resources that we provide are evidence-based, not only in terms of preventing suicide, but in terms of how we help folks with substance abuse issues and people that have mental health issues. So, again, a great recommendation, and it's very consistent with where the department is moving and just as in the field as a whole. It's an expectation. Again, the next recommendation out of this, reduce access to lethal means of suicide to imminent risk populations. Again, a lot of these, you're seeing a lot of overlapping as we continue to target individuals in those high-risk populations. Are there certain things that we can, policies, and again, this is a much larger discussion, but how do we make sure that those folks continue to have obstacles so that they don't have the means and the resources to ultimately end their lives? So this is another element that, again, I think, in general, it would be preferred that we are able to continue to push further and further up the scale so that this never becomes an issue, that people are receiving the treatment and the services that they need earlier and earlier so that we're identifying depression, we're identifying suicidal thoughts earlier so that we can get the treatment. But this is, again, another recommendation to a much more hands-on recommendation of just what we could do to prevent.
But firearms is the greatest cause of suicide in Wisconsin, right?
Based on the report, yes.
Have you seen any correlation? Now we have hundreds of thousands of Wisconsin residents that have concealed weapon, legal concealed weapon permits. If firearms are more prevalent, have you seen any correlation in the use of them to commit suicides, or is that...
We haven't seen that in the report. Time frames probably aren't adequate for us to really look at that because of the time frame of when that concealed carry law went into place and, you know, the
2011
years
or something.
This one only goes to 2011.
Looking at a five-year window for us, I mean, even if you were to take a look at 2011, 2012 when concealed carry came on the books, you're still seeing, even for us, that number, while it's gone up, it's still very close to where we were before. So I think, you know, again, it would take a much longer study to identify it, but based on even the snapshot that we've seen now, I think a lot of it, notwithstanding the discussion about firearms, a lot of it, I think, it just comes down to addressing mental health issues and diagnosing those.
Most likely in Wisconsin to commit suicide, tragically, men 45 to 54, most likely to use a firearm, and four out of five suicides are men, one in five are women.
Successful suicide, right? Mm-hmm.
What women, if they don't use firearms, what do they tragically use to try to end their lives, John?
You know, I don't know if I have that broken down in the report by gender, so I couldn't talk to that, but less likely to use firearms.
Less likely to use firearms. Okay. Yep. Where were you, sir?
And the last bullet point, learn more about Wisconsin-specific prevention activities. And again, this goes back to just the knowledge base, being able to know what's available. If you are, and I think it's important to really drive this home, is that nobody really knows when this may occur. And so it's really something that whether you're a parent, a loved one, a sister, a brother, a grandparent, a neighbor, being able to have that base knowledge to know, okay, something's not right here. Can we get you some resources? Or even just asking a very difficult question, but a question that's incredibly powerful, which is something as simple, are you thinking about killing yourself? It's an incredibly powerful question, but if you take a look at the impact that that can have on a young person's life or on a 45-year-old male, that may be enough to stop them, to get them to think and to allow the additional resources to come to bear to help with their whatever issue, that whether it be depression, mental health, or just whatever it might be. Those are the types of things that I think we now can continue to promote, push out to the general public. Just even talking about it, we had talked about this as well. The stigma about mental health, the stigma about suicide, generally is one of the biggest challenges out there. People don't like, you know, if somebody is thinking about committing suicide, they don't, you know, step up to the plate and say, I need help sometimes. And I think it's reflective in the fact that the men's versus women's rate.
Yes.
We've got to continue to talk about it, not only in this forum, but just generally. And I think that this is why the report is going to be a great catalyst for that discussion.
A sibling or a parent watching this show who has a concern about a loved one.
Yep.
Should they turn to a local resource, a county resource, a state hotline? What should they do?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, yes.
All of the above.
You know,
all the
whatever
above.
Whatever they're most comfortable with, just act. Don't sit on that concern. Get some help. And
yep.
I think Kevin's got some resources identified, some website information that can help people walk through it. Mental Health America, great source.
Great organization, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I think that there's a couple of different things. I would encourage folks either go to the department's website, Mental Health America's website, or even just go to Google and search suicide prevention. There's a number of resources out there for friends, family, and again, I'm not even thinking about teachers, principals, to be able to understand what are the signs to look for, what are the things that characteristics that an individual may show that say, wait a minute, something's not quite right here. That obviously is helpful. And then as Chuck said, you know, make a phone call, get engaged, ask questions, but make sure that, you know, again, be direct. Ask that question. Are you thinking about committing suicide? Are you thinking about killing yourself? Again, incredibly powerful question, but incredibly effective too at stopping that individual from perhaps taking that next really preventable step. But at the end of the day, that one of the best resources out there nationally is this, the federal SAMHSA, which is the State Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration, has a toll-free phone number. It's 1-800-273-TALK. Or 8255.
That's so important. Give it again.
I'll give it again. 1-800-273-TALK, which is 8255. And this is really, use this as a resource when folks get into crisis. Again, pick up the phone. What they will do is, as a national phone number, they will actually direct you to a much more local group. Depending on where you live in the state, if you go online, they actually will direct you to a regional provider to help you interact. To get somebody in there to say, wait a minute, what's going on? How can we help? Just continuing to add layers to help people to get to a point of saying, look, wait, I can't. You know, I've got somebody now asking me these questions. That question is better than having them make an action that we can't reverse. Mm-hmm. So, again, I would encourage folks, the report is a great resource. There's a lot of resources online, both at the department's perspective but nationally. But at the end of the day, the ability to just be aware, be engaged. We talked about that social network. Be engaged with friends and family. Know what they're, be part of their lives, be aware of what their behaviors are. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, the best thing to do, the only thing to do is when somebody gets into crisis is get engaged, make sure you get people, professionals involved, because this is a preventable situation.
And maybe final question for Chuck, how does someone know that someone may be in a crisis that could be thinking about suicide?
It isn't a perfect science. I think, as Kevin was getting to, though, as soon as you question it, as soon as you wonder, mm-hmm. as soon as you start thinking that maybe, that's time to check. It's time to learn more or to ask that question, that hard question, and find out, you don't have to be an expert. All you have to do is hear one thing that makes you wonder and learn more about it, the conditions or the issues yourself if you're worried about someone. But don't not act. You just need to take advantage of the opportunity.
And I think a lot of it, Steve, also comes down to just as you get to know somebody, you know, it's about changes. You know, if somebody all of a sudden goes from being very energetic to being all of a sudden sleeping a lot, if somebody is you know, all of a sudden giving away stuff, these are all indicators that can show something's not right. Obviously, it could be a wide range of things, but again, it's an opportunity to engage. It's an opportunity to sit down and have that discussion, and maybe through that discussion, then these other thoughts of, you know, I've thought about this, I've thought about that. That's an opportunity to engage and to show somebody that you're engaged in their life, and that may be enough to be able to prevent somebody from making that next step. So again, it's something that all of us can do, and it's an opportunity, and it's a great opportunity for us to continue the dialogue.
All state agencies, including Department of Health Services, are preparing their 2015-2017 budgets. Mm-hmm. Any new initiatives expected in your budget to deal with this issue, suicide prevention?
This is an issue that not only from a public health perspective, but from a mental health and substance abuse perspective is very high on our priority list. We're taking a look at different options, whether they be through the state budget process or through the states to the substance abuse grant, substance abuse block grant and the mental health block grant. We're always looking for ways of trying to leverage dollars and resources for not only awareness, but also to make sure that we've got the infrastructure in place. It also is important to note, though, as well, you know, going back to this last budget, we're still implementing a lot of the initiatives from Governor Walker's 2013-15 budget, which had over $30 million investment, much of that money in community-based services, much of it targeted towards children. That is another element, though, as those services continue to grow, it's more access points for individuals to get help. The last thing that I will say then as well is we are also looking at other ways of, while we talk about Medicaid population, low-income individuals, there's also other innovations that we want to partner with our private sector partners in terms of doing screenings earlier. You may have heard things like screening and intervention therapy. ESPRT is also, it's known as that. But the ability to basically do a baseline screen on all of us to identify substance abuse risk, mental health risk, depression risk, all of those things can help us then know what our risks are and make sure that we receive what the treatment and the services that we need, so we're able to catch things and identify things earlier on, so we never have to get to the statistics. Because at this point, you know, like I said, we want to get that number down. And that's what our goal is.
We're going to keep tracking this, but we don't want to come back in another 3 or 5 years and say it went up again.
Nope.
You want to say it went down.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you. This is a very sobering document. It's a very revealing document. How people can get this on your website.
Yep.
And it's available. Is it available in county agencies or anywhere?
I'm not sure how many copies we put in print.
Okay.
I think we've got a lot of them in our offices,
yep.
But
I've been
certainly the website's the fastest way and
yep.
probably
okay.
most accessible.
Okay. We debated internally at Wisconsin. I do shows like this talking about suicide, unfortunately, run the risk of having more people think about it, or there's more prevention?
It's the opposite. The more we talk about it, the okay. more we make this information available to people, the less likely people are to go forward and commit suicide. More likely they are to know about the resources available to help and provide that support. So the key is to keep talking about it, get the awareness out there.
I think, Steve, you know, we're dedicating a week. Just like mental health, we dedicate a week or we dedicate a month. The part about all of this, whether it be mental health, whether it be substance abuse, whether it be suicide prevention, we're talking about it. So yeah. The goal is that it's a catalyst. We need to continue to talk about it. And I think in Wisconsin, I feel very confident that we are a leader in continuing to talk about it, breaking down stigma. And I think that's going to help people realize that there is help out there. And that's what's going to prevent people from taking their lives. So thank you for this opportunity.
You. Perfect subject for a newsmaker show. Very timely. I want to thank Kevin Moore, Chuck Warzeka of the Department of Health Services.
Yep.
I'll finally get it right. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.